Name chapters on yourself.
Shabalala, Chiefs.
Good to catch.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Mike Maso. Where is this one? Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I'm Mike Kamasondo, the acting CEO of Judicial Inspectorate of Correctional Services.
Good morning, Michael Prusent from the Office of the Inspecting Judge.
Good morning, I'm Maneli C. Walela, Correctional Services Communication.
Good morning, I'm Nick Webalini of the Senate Project.
Good morning, I'm Hajima Tubabo from the Office of the CEO.
Good morning, my name is Mama Tibela. I'm responsible for community correction.
Good morning, I'm Zambia.
Good morning, I'm
Sabina.
We can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
Good morning, I'm Jordan.
A very good morning, Chairperson. Sonam Zimzadana, Deputy Commissioner, Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Bohman, Chief Deputy Commissioner, Human Resources.
Good morning, Mr. Robinson. Good morning,
my apologies. James Smallberger, responsible for incarceration and correction and legal delegation. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. We have an apology and we accepted it from the acting national commissioner because she's out of town. And she indicated that a week or two ago, and I was not uncomfortable with it, so she is unable to lead the delegation. We also have Mr. Sal and Mr. Makagula indicating that they will join us shortly. The reason why I ask that you introduce yourself is because this is probably the last time that we are going to meet you in this session. Our next engagement from Guinea is with the minister on the 4th of this month. Now, when we took office as this committee, the very first time that we introduced ourselves to you and to the media and to Parliament, we had a vision that we had worked out of. I would remind the committee and remind you. The very first focus area that we agreed upon as a committee, as our five-year vision, projection, target, was administration. Because we felt that at the center of everything else, if there's a weak administration, not going to work. But we also said we were going to focus on administration because 5 years ago, this department's Auditor General's reports were unflattering, to say the least. Memory serves us correctly, I think you had not received anything other than qualified reports up to that stage. So we thought as a committee that admin is going to be one pillar. The second pillar that we looked at was facilities, because we felt that we have to make sure that the detention of juveniles, the detention of any inmate, has to be humane in accordance with the Constitution. And we also joined this committee, Mangwene, you remember when there was talk about 6 new prisons and we wanted to investigate whether we thought it was right or not. So we said facility looking to be one of the areas that we were looking to. The other area that we were going to look at was what was then known commonly as the waiting child detainees, bail and overcrowding, the management thereof. And we said that's one of the areas we're going to look at because we were concerned about the continued incarceration of people that couldn't afford bail. We wanted to ensure that as South Africans we maintained the innocent until proven guilty. And so forth, and that's why we thought that that was one of the areas. I'm reminding you because those of you that pull up with that pull that still have the document, you pull it out and you'll see this is what we said in June 9, 2009. The other area that we thought we were going to look at was inmate reintegration because of the stigmatization of inmates and the difficulty to reintegrate. The challenges that communities, or the challenges that released inmates had, and communities as well, in terms of accepting each other and reducing the recidivism. And we thought there was a need for us to look at that as South Africa. The next area was inmate care and development. Specifically around the abuse of inmates, that when an inmate goes in, he comes out a better human being, in other words, skills development and education, and of course, adequate medical treatment. Another area that we thought we need to look at was, for want of a better word, inmate privileges and rights. And those of you that were with us then will recall that we were adamant that we can't have a situation where inmates sit 24 hours a day and watches the bold and the beautiful, and we have somebody else cutting the grass. We were adamant that South Africans must know that our facilities are not holiday resorts, that taxpayers must foot. Somebody outside doesn't have 3 meals, but they have 3 meals. Somebody outside doesn't have a bed, and they have a bed, and therefore they think it's better to be inside than outside. And of course, the inmate employment or utilization so that they pay back to society. And then the final one was the integration and coordination with the entire criminal justice family. So those were what we, as a committee, took a decision we'd want to be measured on when our term is up. Well, that time has arrived. Our term is up. And after meeting the minister on the 4th, we have to write a legacy report or a handover report. And we'd have to measure ourselves as a committee to say, of all these 8 or 9 areas that I've raised, how have we done as a committee? And where we failed, why we failed. And where there's work in progress, how far that work in progress. So that's really the exercise for today. I really am not interested in whether you're on budget or off budget, because quite frankly, whether you're on or off budget today is not going to assist us long way. We've got 6 weeks left. We really want to know that of those 5, if they are failures, why were they those failures? So that the incoming committee doesn't have to start where we started. All these things we've raised were there from inception. They were all in the white paper, and yet when we joined 12 or 15 years later, very little of this type of progress. We don't want that to happen to ever come to tomorrow. So we want to have that discussion. Where we would admit, if we failed, why have we failed? And we will then refer to your report, because if you say you've done well, the obvious question is that why have you still got a qualified report? If you say to us you've done badly, we'll say to you, then why have you built 5 new facilities? So you can't give us what you want us to hear, because you'll have to back it up with the steps that you have been giving us over the past 5 years and what you've given us today. And that was why we said to you that we're going to do quarterly reports. I really am not interested in the quarterly report today. I really am not. But I will challenge your answer on the basis of the quarterly report, because that is the true reflection. So when you say to us you've done well, you better show us in the books where you've done well and why you say you've done well. And if you say you've done well, you better be able to answer questions from members when they say, but we don't agree with you that you've done well, because your quarterly says otherwise. So really that's what it's about from our side. And we're going to get into that discussion systematically, so members will be able to ask questions on all those areas, because I think that's how we must measure ourselves as MPs, whether we succeeded or not, and you will then have to answer those questions that are found. And if in that discussion you don't touch the matter of the water flow of two, then you better touch it also. Now you can either do it in the process of the question, or you can do that at the end. It's up to you, Mr. Smallberg, or at the beginning. We'll afford you an opportunity to give us the overall state of the nation before members get into the meet. You can do that, but certainly what we saw happening around the water flow 4 did not surprise any of us. Because all those elements that were there were elements that this committee had spoken about. The prevalence of cell phones. The fact that we think that there are many officials that are colluding in the assistance of smuggling contraband. The fact that we asked the question, DCS go back and consider technology to jam cell phones, because you render them useless. Go back and consider the implementation of CCTV cameras. Because, spokesperson, you wouldn't have to go for an investigation today, as I hear you saying you must look at video. It would have been there. I don't think this committee was mad when we made those recommendations. I really don't think we were mad when we made those recommendations. And as I said, in our very first meeting in June 1999, we told you what we were going to focus on. So you'll report on that. Also, if it doesn't come out in this meeting, somehow or the other, you'll have to tell us progress on the Mangaung investigation, either as a standalone or incorporated in your responses to us. So those two are very critical matters that we think that you must discuss with us. And also hopefully either as a standalone or as part of the discussion around the facilities around overcrowding and so on, you're going to tell us about the Argo. We inherited it. I warned DCS that when you come here today, if you don't have an answer for me, I think there are going to be very serious consequences. And I think there are going to be serious consequences because last week we had a discussion with the family of justice review, and there again they said to us that the success of this criminal justice system would be the ability for SEPs to talk to Home Affairs, for Home Affairs to talk to Correctional Services, for Correctional Services to talk to the magistrate. That's what they said to us last week. So somebody's going to say to us, if there is an IT backbone for remand detention. If not, I can assure you that there's going to be problems. I can assure you that there will be problems for that. So either you're going to respond to those as standalone, or you're going to respond to those as part of your system. We're really not worried about that. In what order? So I thought I must paint that picture so that this discussion of ours today will inform what goes into our handover report, and it will also inform what we discuss with the Minister and the Deputy on the 4th when we meet with them. And the Acting Commissioner, because we've asked to see her when she gets back. So we are really wrapping up our term, and we want to wrap it up as objectively as possible, with having given everybody an opportunity to comment honestly on how far we came with our targets that we set on day one when we came into office. So I'm hoping that that, ladies and gentlemen, then sets the scene for what we really wanted to have. And as I said earlier, I'm glad that all of you are here. I don't think there's anybody that is, or any area, that we do not have an individual that can come. We've got people here from all those areas. So we're going to hope that we're going to respond to those things. So Mr. Smallberger, we'll afford you 10 minutes for opening remarks if you want to. And then we're going to open up to members to start their interaction, as I said, systematically. We'll deal with admin. If there are any people that want to deal with admin, we'll deal with it. Anybody wants to talk to facilities, they will deal with it. Anybody that wants to talk to overcrowding and remand detention management, we'll deal with that. Anybody that wants to talk about inmate reintegration, we'll deal with that. Inmate development and care. Inmate privileges and rights. And we will then end up with our contribution to the improvement of efficiency of the criminal justice system. And that will be the basis of our handover report to Parliament and to South Africa. And then we can be judged at this committee in terms of whether we as the Portfolio Committee of Correctional Services have been effective or otherwise. So Mr. Smallberger, over to you. Do you hope any remarks? If you so wish, if you don't, we will then get straight into the meat of the day.
Thank you very much. Janet, thank you for the opportunity. And I think you have clearly stipulated the roadmap of 5 years ago and what we will be wanting that. Here we are not going to have an open remark, but I can say that the three areas that you have identified, I think we will deal with them as separate maybe. Responded to the question, and then we will reserve those three where we are going to give the portfolio committee a brief of you. Chair, we will be in your hands to lead by either starting with as you indicated. We are ready.
Thank you very much. Okay, just then to clarify, members. We will reserve our questions for the waterproof two towards the end. So if you ask them now, we will ask you to park it. Any questions around the progress on the Mangaung investigation, we will also deal with that as a standalone. And then the readiness or otherwise of the IT backbone for remand detention. The Argon saga. So those three, if you could reserve them for standalone questions. Everything else is fair game. Everything else is fair game. You can ask those questions and we are here till the end for 1 o'clock. All right? 10 o'clock, we're here till 1 o'clock, so we'll manage time so that we get to all of them and at least get a flavor of what is happening with all of them. And then, of course, Mr. Klaas, you'll recall that last week we denied you an opportunity to respond to some of the questions that were, or some of the points that were raised by the inspecting judge and his team. So if you guys want to respond to some of those, if they don't come out in the normal discussion, then you can do that. There were some specific issues that were raised by the judicial inspectors. And if you want to deal with them, and maybe just to remind, or just to, so that people don't think we are talking over them or not giving them the benefit of the doubt, let's just remind the rest of DCS, Mr. Smallberger, some of the issues, and I'm hoping that your team that were here would have at least conscientized you. There was an issue around the DCS budget. There was an issue around DCS's response to recommendations that are forwarded by the judicial inspectors. There were issues around the practice of transferring inmates whilst they are still being investigated and therefore making it difficult to conclude investigations. Assault, I think, would be covered around privileges and rights, so that one is fine. No, the others I think will be covered. Sorry, the others I think will be covered, but those ones, either integrate them into your responses to us, or if you want to deal with them specifically, Mr. Klaas, and I think Mbambo was here, you can deal with them accordingly. So can we then get straight into the business of the day? Correctional Services has never received anything other than a qualified report since 1994. And we were going to focus on the administration. So I'm opening up to members if there's anything around general administration that you'd want this department to account for. And yeah, you're really meeting anybody around general administration. Let's just focus on general administration. If you're happy, there are no questions on general administration. So go back. Anybody on general administration? Why are you waiting? Let me start and give you a time. Yes, sir.
But Jefferson.
Hold on.
But Jefferson, I thought that you have already drawn the agenda.
Yeah.
I thought that they will start by responding to these three items and then let them stand item, three stand item alone.
Okay.
But you're starting asking the question.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Nothing to we were almost.
They must respond to because we did it last week.
Okay.
And they have to respond to it so that we engage them.
Mangalia, you want to propose something?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think what we will go back. Recommend the Kala Mama question. She didn't go to the other question. They only three that here. Let us focus. The one of the different options, I think the different relationship of the different
cooperation and value add between the two of you around the work of the inspecting judge and the work of DCS and whatever the problems might be, so that we can have that discussion of everybody involved and we take it from there. Can we allow DCS to give initial comments and then you're saying we will question it on that basis? Just have to say one question. All right. DCS? Yes, sir.
I just want to emphasize, I don't know whether Mr. Bombo is here and whether he qualifies to make it properly. I just want to remind them there was a very strong-worded statement by the acting COO of the inspecting judge with regards to this relationship, which is not out. A very strong word. So I hope that they are very safe here out there.
Mr. Solberger, you and your kids?
Thank you, Chair. Let me again initiate the acceptance of the apology on
can you hear the other back?
I'm not really capable. Let me again appreciate the acceptance of the apology of Ms. Jorivana, who is chairing the biennial AFSA conference in Mozambique. Just to remind the colleagues there that South Africa is the chairperson of AFSA, so we do have that responsibility on behalf of Africa. Therefore, we appreciate the fact that you accepted the apology of Ms. Jorivana. We then also appreciate the opportunity given to the department to respond to this report. Chair, also let me say that Mr. Mbambo is international relations. He is part of the AFSA office in South Africa. Therefore, he is also not here and is also attending the session with Mr. Jordana. Jefferson, let me first say that the department really respect and have high regard for the office of the inspecting judge and also for the oversight role that they are playing as a statutory body and independent statutory body of DCS. Jefferson, the issue of independency or not, I think, was also discussed over some years here. And in a previous meeting, the acting commissioner, John Garner, indicated that the department will not have any objection to be changed so that they can be totally independent and separate from DCS. We want to reiterate that and also again say we will fully support if such an amendment. Here, in terms of the challenges which was raised in the previous meeting, when we were discussing this as the executive, we realized that this matter was discussed previously in the portfolio committee, and nevertheless, there are still some systems and processes and procedures that are lacking that cause the current situation that the portfolio committee almost became the point of departure and not in a position to do oversight, because instead currently you are receiving concerns and complaints that the department is not assisting, the department is not adding value to the reports of the judicial inspectorate. Chair, and it is really related that the portfolio committee is in this position of almost a facilitator or a mediation role that starts to evolve here. Chair, it is important that we also appreciate your leadership in the previous meeting to ask Mr. Clark not to respond by then, but to be given opportunity in this meeting. Chair, we will really want to respond, but Chair, the current situation, if you analyze it, you are receiving the symptoms of a process, and we will need to find ways and means to put the system in place where there's proper engagement, compulsory engagement, before documentation or before reports are arriving at the portfolio committee there. See, what we've also identified is that there's no synchronization currently. You know, we are here today as the department to present the second quarterly report while JIT reported on the third quarterly report already on the 4th of February. And here the idea from the department is also not today to point any fingers to anybody, but to look at a collective approach. How can we improve on what is currently the situation? I think here in your opening remarks you also indicated that the portfolio committee who will be here after the 7th of May need not to start where the current committee has started. In other words, there must be processes and procedures and systems in place to facilitate the relationship. Chair, we don't want to come here in future and say to the portfolio committee, the JIX report for the third quarterly report was submitted by email to the department on the 24th of January, and they appeared on the 4th, and there was no time to respond. We need today, Chair, to agree on a process that will be acceptable and a system that will be acceptable for the portfolio committee as well as both parties, so that we can lay a foundation and not working against each other, but that it's a clear responding and giving reports to the portfolio committee that is informative, where there is quality, as well as to put the portfolio committee in a position to do the oversight and judge on what is in front of them and not to judge on columns that are empty. Jay, having said this few remarks, I want to request the person who attended the previous meeting, Mr. Clark, to maybe say what he intended to say at the previous one,
thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe just to follow up on the to say, in our discussion, we agreed on a following the previous portfolio committee meeting. We had a session between regional commissioners and CEO of GPI, where we agreed that going forward, all reports will be discussed and see their bottlenecks and not be bottlenecks. But I think following that, those engagements, the rare changes that took place in the also the world changes in our office. But going forward, what we understand, and also maybe just to say that in those engagements, we did not agree as to who should take responsibility to convene this session. As a result, I think we expected to call meetings, they expected us to call meetings, and some of the engagements were taken. But what we are putting forward, we should also be discussing with teams going forward. One of the people that we offer must take responsibility for convening those engagements. So it should not be either or. We should take responsibility for that. Two, what we will be suggesting is that the office of the COO should coordinate quarterly meetings with JIT to discuss their quarterly report. So that whatever report has come to the portfolio committee should have had the opportunity to discuss it. The third proposal that we want to put on the table is to say, because JIT does manage the report for the portfolio committee, is to say that during the week of the 15th to the 20th of every month, JIT should indicate official responsible for each problem who should meet with the regional head corrections, regional head development and trend, to process that monthly report. So So from head office side, the monitoring there will be to make sure that between the 20th and 15th and the 20th meeting took place, all issues that were raised in that manner are changed, have been attended. So that after that, then the third month, because it will be the end of the quarter, those changes will still meet between the period of the 15th to the 20th. But then we agree that on the first week of the month following, the COO, this office, and the regional commissioners must meet with the CEO of JIS and his team. So that if there are issues that in the monthly meeting where there are the continuous issues on the table, those issues should be dealt with in those meetings and processes. That would then enable us to say that after that meeting, a report should then be submitted by Chief Supervisor. Maybe just to say two things on that report. Our intention of those engagements is not necessarily to change the Chief's report, but is to respond and comment to areas where we have. By its very nature, the relationship between us and Chief should be such that we cooperate as much as we can. But because Chief's role is independent of us, there are areas where we will agree on a report to say this one, this is what we agree on. And there are areas where we may disagree. And I think it's important for us that when they submit that report, they could then see to say we have discussed this report, these are areas of agreement this year. Here we don't seem to be finding one another. So what we will do, as we are building now the corporate calendar for the 2014 financial year, is to agree with JIS on this date for this engagement, so that we have a structured engagement with JIS. Because as we small beggar said, our intention is to make sure that going forward we don't again have to say who was. Office of the CEO will take that responsibility, and we will make sure that all the relevant officials, starting from the region, because that's where real engagement ought to happen on a monthly basis, so that we resolve whatever issues. The second issue that I thought I want to speak to is the issue around the investigation. Because I think one of the major challenges that we face is the length of time to investigate. Now, there we have agreed to say that from our side, we would have to look at the nature of each investigation and agree on the time frame to make sure that if we see, because some of the investigations are simple, say, what investigation, that should take you a week or two. But others, because they involve officials, they involve the disciplinary code, we want to conclude those within 60 days. So that we agree on time frame. Now, in this monthly engagement with JIS, we'll be able to indicate to that this incident happened on this day, this has a time frame, so that we should then be able to discuss with them to say whether this investigation takes long. The third part to investigation are those which are partly dependent on the availability of autopsy reports. Those ones will obviously indicate to say that while we have done our investigation, it remains incomplete until we get the autopsy report. But we think those are issues which we could clarify with JIS. And also the issue around the recommendations made at JIS. If we have this monthly engagement, it will make it easier for us to engage on the issues. The other issue that we wanted to highlight is the issue of transfers. Now, there are instances where after the gang violence, so after certain activities, I noted certain offenders should be transferred from one sector to another. Now, the basis of this process in the mini is to try and stabilize the situation in that center. That is why when an offender is transferred from center B to center B, there is a recourse to that. Now, if in our engagement with this, as we say, we make agreement on monthly engagement, there are concerns about why certain offenders are transferred. We could share those things and show them, because in most cases, these voices are to make a specific example about the relationship. Sometimes most of these gangs, against which we fight in the community out there, you arrest them, they come inside. Now, as you pick up that these people arrive again, you need to separate them. And in separating them, sometimes you send others in different ways. The intention at no point we need to transfer offenders to hide them from any institution. That is why even in some instances when we have to provide security for chief investigators to do anything, we do provide that security right there. Because our view is to say that we ought not to hinder whatever institution we want to contact. So we don't transfer offenders with the intention of hiding. And in an instance where we were to pick up that head of center to make a standard, we would have to intervene and correct that. But if the situation of those transfers where they're taking place was maybe to separate the rival gang. So I think, Chair, this is how we thought going forward we want to streamline this relationship. Because in the absence of that, really, we will see them say that if there is this, why this did not happen, which would not happen. But apart from this, in our engagement with the CEO of Chief, we have said, here are the phone numbers of all regional commissioners, the national commissioner, if there is a gap on someone, take a phone and phone. And I think that system was beginning to work with the previous team. But since he departed, it became difficult again, partly because I think we did not involve other officials in that engagement, in that structured engagement. But we are of the view that going forward, we will be able to give the portfolio committee clear timetables to monitor the state. One, did you meet on this date that you committed to that are in your country? And if you have met, did you resolve all these issues that we have noted and so on, so that we don't find ourselves in a situation like the one of last week? Because in my view, some of the issues that were raised last week are issues we could have resolved. That is why some of the reasons offline we could resolve them, because it was partly because of the lack of engagement that some of those issues arose. That's to conclude, Chair, on this point, that the example I would want to make is for the educator that the security official at that official got an award of being the best educator for this year. Will be representing us for the national award. Why is a security official held the necessary qualification? And in fact, we should be giving him credit for going beyond the call of duty to say that while he was a security official, he even assisted his education. So we should be praising him in fact. And for me, one issue that goes at issues that offline is going to be without them coming at the time. So we acknowledge that, yes, there were some of these speakers, but I think we agree as speakers that we have to be big enough to find a solution to those so that we make the work of the judicial sector. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Pennsylvania will be followed by Max, followed by Joe, Zelle, and then Bandisho. Amgaya.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you for the explanation from Mr. Gladstone. Secondly, I want to check for the department in terms of the budget of the inspector in charge. Last week, you get a report that the inspector in charge were requesting 18 million and they were given half of that 18 million if I'm not mistaken. I want to check with them that how are they communicating with them in terms of their budget, and if that 18 million are by requesting, is it anything that was made break down, say we want this 80 million for 1, 2, 3. I didn't get that from the chief. So I want to check with the department, how are they allocating their budget to the interim charge? Second thing, there was a question again on communication. Although the class is explaining, but I want to get more. How are they communicating with them? Because you see that there's a lack of communication on what the inspector judge was reporting to us and what we are getting now. It shows that there's a communication breakdown amongst themselves. And I don't get a sense of when this office if they have a workshop, how are they going to work together? If we can get that capacity. Then in terms of transfer capacity, yes, it's true if they can, if we communicate, if there is a communication capacity. When we go overtime also, we witness the report of the inspector judge in terms of the inmates that have been transferred because there was a riot or gangs or whatever. Yes, it would, but my question is, when the inmate is transferred to another center, the information must die. The information must, we need to get the information that Winnie was here and Winnie has been transferred to Lobo. But what we get from the report check, the inmates that have killed another inmate or killed a member, you find that we don't get a report that tells you that Winnie has killed member so and so, Winnie has been transferred to Kimberley, then the case now is in Kimberley. How will they know? What we get that, we get only that Winnie was arrested, and Winnie have made have killed somebody inside in the center, and Winnie has been transferred. Where? You don't know. You don't get where this inmate going to. Until we go to oversight at this portfolio committee and find Winnie and Tata. Winnie said, I was at Johannesburg Prison. And at Johannesburg Prison, my finger was cut. And now my case is there. Here they said they can't follow up my case. So this is even another Mr. Glass, that wanted to get from you in terms of the transfer. We are not saying Chatterton, they mustn't be aware, they mustn't transfer the gangs when they do wrong things. But the information, we need to get information that this image of girls who want to play with transfer, this image or a Westville or whatever, and the case of the Westville, my bonagar in that case, it is a chance of us. If the case is a corner, don't get the upper. Whether it's a member of correctional service, don't get the case that this inmate has killed a member and this inmate has get sentenced again on top of the sentence because they are not going to go. Then apply Nabuwa inmate. The inmate, when the inmate was killed, and we get a report that this inmate was killed or was killed by the member of Correctional Service. But we don't get a case that says the member was arrested. We only get that the member has been suspended. It's the Kalaman government in the Correctional Service. So I want to get from the department. So I was telling that I done that my case. I'm an inmate, I'm a fella again. I'm an inmate. Because then we're talking about shooting things. The member of correctional things are shooting. And the inmates are a man, I'm a PT. But not under the police case, they're going to announce what they're going to say, though, when they're going to do a matter of fact. Yeah, Mama.
Thank you, Che. Che, having listened to the feedback and from this is on this very important issue. You know, government put this, the constitution is inside in the constitution, government put systems in place, government developed and used laws to manage this, and these systems are there to work. And to enable them to work, people are appointed, to ensure that it has been executed. Now, what I'm very surprised for the fact that what Mr. Clark actually proposes is not in place. Because that is a common sense. You know, I think all the time in processes, rules, systems. That is, if you think that way, there's no way that pop can look around for. So, what I identified from this input is that there's two issues. It might be an attitudinal problem and a procedural problem. Attitudinal in the sense that just function has not been regarded as a priority. It is just an additional ad hoc, whatever I feel, attitude, if it is a complaint I will attend to. A procedural one is, as Provincial Commissioner of Police Western Cape, I was responsible for human resource, right through logistics, everything, crime set, everything. And I have to ensure that all of these functions are monitored properly. And if there's a problem, I have to take the rest, not that one or that one as a police station, myself as a provincial commissioner. Because it was my duty to implement a proper system to monitor and control this function. Right. Having said that, now with regard to this issue at hand, it is the regional commissioner's responsibility to create a nodal point, for instance. If just sent a complaint to a correctional center, a copy there ought to go to this regional office where somebody is employed to monitor these things, objects. Somebody. Not somebody as an additional. Somebody as a priority to monitor. Jugs and DCS should agree on a turnaround time. If the investigation is not finalized by then there is a letter indicating another 14 days or 7 days as agreed will there be a follow-up. And that coincides actually with Mamwini's point of communication. So there is no way that the area regional commissioner, MDCS head office, is not aware what is the status of complaints outstanding finalized with regards to just function. Because that is a control mechanism where you identify immediately when there is a bring forward it. The moment that copy lands in the regional office, that person responsible places on bring forward. Now that morning, like today is the 19th, you open at 5 and you check who did not respond to these outstanding issues. And then you are on the line, fax or telephone to their correctional center to ask them where the response is. Your due date, it is not forwarded. Because a copy of that, we try to just also come back. And if there's it is finalized, then that file is closed, it is finalized. So there's a continuous monitoring and managing of this particular issue. As soon as JIPS becomes a DCS priority, and there's a proper system and control unit, I don't think that we are going to have the same problem every year and the same complaint. I thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe I will piggyback to some of the questions that have been raised by the two members that spoken before. The first one is communication, Chairperson. And I want to speak to the reports. When the reports are received, who's supposed to do what, when? And by what time that response should be adhered to? What happens if a person hasn't responded? What are the penalties of not responding on time? That's the first question. The second question, Jefferson, will be the time frame of communicating. You see, the communication, Jefferson, is 2 weeks. It can be 1 week. I hear my brother just by saying that this is a process that should be taken forward. But I don't understand if JIPS understand what they are talking about. If JIPS understand that, have they agreed with this process? If they have agreed with this process, then why are we having a blank spaces in the airport? If there are blank spaces, then who's not doing the job properly? Is it JIPS or is it department? You see, we can't be in between. And somebody somewhere has to be held responsible for what has not yet been done. That's my problem. That's the second thing. The last thing, Chairperson, I listen carefully when Small Becker was saying, we respect JIPS and so on and blah, 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 which is a good thing. And we will support the amendment of the bill or act when the JIPS wants to come in on its own and so on and so forth. My problem is an attitude. How do you try to work around the attitude of the two sections? I'm asking this question because if the CEO of JIPS has been suspended and nobody else can communicate with, who do you communicate with? Because that means, therefore, if Max is suspended, then I can't communicate with the DA. Because Max is suspended. Now, that's a problem, because Max on his own can't be the DA on his own. There is somebody there. The structure is there. Therefore, the structure has to make sure that there is a line of communication every now and then until the end. That's where my problem lies, Chairperson. This is why I'm saying I'm going to piggyback on these three, on these two members that already asked questions. But the basic thing is communication, Chairperson. Thank you.
I think I'll start by saying that we are here to that the department has come up with some insofar as the issue. the three that they are working on this matter, and they see the development. Having said that, Professor, I wanted to explain to us what was the intention of forming this special Irish fund. Because to me, too, this is the problem. We don't understand why was this official, why is it under control. Is there a need for this to be done? Those are the issues that we must talk frankly here. So that we know where we are going. We should not just say we should be independent. We must know why was it in the first place. The conditions that were prevailing at the time, are they no longer prevailing as we speak now? Well, how do we correct it? That's one thing. Another issue that I think we need to strengthen from the side of this is the issue of behavior standards and things to get closer in the functioning of the because most of the reports that we have, the people that are not responding are the HOC and the AP, they are not responding on their part of the policy. If that can be sorted out, I don't see any problem in this thing that you're discussing. Another issue, the last one, the issue of the COO. Are we having any COO in this speech who is in charge of it? Because in my understanding, the acting national commission was the COO. Who is now acting on the court for the service?
This one is.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to say this out of my mind. I will continuously say that we didn't have this reporting in the past. All of us now benefit today. When we started this administration, the reporting of this was not because of the reporting that we are doing. Nobody must forget that. Listening, everybody has forgotten that. All of us are benefiting now out of reports that we are doing. So now we've got an eye-opener. Or there is a systematic redress that needs to be made. Why I'm saying this? Why listening to the previous presentation? The information that my colleagues are needed. What we do have officers that the officers of GPS that are now here. To me, there are rising questions that are not going to give you the benefit of knowing of speaking my mind out now about that. Because to me, we have to start to go and relook at the system of communication, relationship of GIC and GPS so that all of us can understand the role of GIC. To be independent is the one issue of, or one angle of it. Other angle is you do have people who went off GPS and now out. So telling me in my mind, we need to look at the GPS. Systematically, we have to go and look at the people. Historically, this is the baby of the new democratic government. Meaning that there was a need. There was a need. Because we know the history of this country, where we come from. So to me, I do understand why there is a need. And I think everybody in this country understands why there is a need. But for us, it's just to go and look at the system
of the communication channel, because now we are struggling. Because of what? Because of now we benefit, we've got the benefit now of getting now quarterly reports that we never had. Because I piled the previous reports. Nothing of what we are getting now was in that previous. So that is why now we are alarming, now vocal about it. Because we now see the real inside story. Yes. To me, we must all go back and workshop our minds and canvas ourselves and come up with a solution together, all of us. How are we going to go forward with GIC and the BCS and their relationship? How, what will the communication end up? How do we want them to communicate with one another? We must canvas our own minds and come up with a solution for it. That's my take.
Meneer Abraham?
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Ongelukkig is ek nou wat glo dat ons moet begin by die begin. Chairperson, you know, when one sits here, you have to have empathy. You've got tens of thousands. My comrade here says I should have sympathy. I say, no, I should have empathy. I must place myself in the position of the people who are at the receiving end of whatever is happening. Then you can understand better why certain things are working, certain things are not working, and why certain things must be overhauled. Now, chairperson, one has extreme empathy on the one hand for those that have the opportunity to be able to make a difference in the lives of the people that are placed under their care. It's a heavy responsibility. And I believe that all 41,800 employees of correctional services must firstly understand that they have an opportunity to help changing the lives of people and also to see that they become better citizens. That is the first point. Now, we have a situation at the moment where a body is created which is in line with the prescripts of the Constitution. And that body seems to be treated, I dare say the word with disdain, keep away from it, but it is not being treated the manner in which a body created for a specific purpose should be treated. And the responsibility of the Department of Correctional Services, sir, is to see to it. We are not talking here, I've heard all the inputs and I agree with them, about what a future setup should look like. What concerns me, Chair, is that there are hundreds of inmates out there who have lodged complaints, who have spoken to JICS, and JICS has come up with reports, and for weeks and months on end, there has been no resolution to the problems that confront those individuals. Now, all I ask is let us put ourselves in the position of a person that is incarcerated. And that person has no one else to turn to. That person needs the understanding and the empathy of those that are in charge of them, those who are responsible for them. And where there has been found some or other form of wrongdoing, and that has been brought to the attention of the department, we read in the JICS report that for weeks and months on end, there is no response. I'm putting myself, Chair, in the position of that inmate. And what happens to that particular person? There must be mental torment. that person cannot come out of that institution a better person. When you don't take care of the little things that bother that person, and that person has brought it to the attention of an authority whose job it is to see. I mean, this body, jik, was naturally created as a result of what used to happen in our apartheid prisons, to see that there is no recurrence. So I ask myself, Jay, if I were an inmate who is subjected to some or other problem and I don't find a resolution to my problem, am I better off today than I was then? Or am I worse off? Or am I in the same position? So the task upon you is to see that the responses that are still awaited. I would like to get a commitment here today, Jay, that all the tasks that have been given to the department in terms of a report by Jinks, please, there should be a report that this is what we've done with it. It cannot be that for months on end, nothing happens. And I understand that you are also human beings. You are also under extreme pressure. But then we must also remember, when we take on a responsibility, then you must draw the coat. If you take the tactics, you have to draw the coach. And all I'm asking, Chair, is that there's a constitutional obligation. And that constitutional obligation has to be carried out. Chair, with empathy, we must also remember that if somebody is entrusted with a task, and that person does not carry the task out as per the terms of the employment of that person or whatever, and overall we all subject to the constitution of our country, then there must be consequences. Do we hear of consequences here? How many times do we hear it? All of us here must know that with responsibility there also goes consequences. You don't carry out your responsibility, you must know that there are consequences. So, Chairperson, I want to ask today that we be given a very strict time frame within which all the outstanding issues that JICS has brought to the table, that we have reports on what's happening over there. Otherwise, you are going to see more and more mental cases coming out of those institutions rather than properly rehabilitated people. And our duty is to see that that happens. May I also say, Chair, I don't see the role of the Portfolio Committee as being on a fault-finding mission. Our mission is to see that the prescripts of the Constitution, the whole subject of accountability, because the Parliament is, at the end of the day, responsible for voting funds to the various departments. Our job is to see that that is adequately being spent, but it must also be measured upon outcomes. You can come here with a glorifying report that you've been within the limits of spending and you've done very well. The issue is, Chair, how was every cent spent? Did it really have the desired effect and the desired result? And that's what we are here for. Thank you, Chair.
We've spent an hour on this matter. And that is why I do not go this way. We've spent an hour on this matter. We must allow members from this side to respond to this matter. At this rate, we're not going to get a look at what we intended to get. That's why I said let's do this thing systematically. Because really, even this hour that we've spent is not sufficient time to thoroughly get through what is being done. It's not sufficient time. So I'm looking at members here and saying to members, at this stage, we will not get through what we're doing. So when I said let's do that other way, it was because I thought we would get the flavor. Remember, we were meeting with Minister again on the phone. We can repeat some of these things. So I'm going to allow you really just 5 minutes, because we've really spent an hour on this one. And we haven't even touched any of the other matters. Just can I give you 5 minutes because maybe you're one of the stakeholders, and then Kohlberg and Klaas will give you 5 minutes. As somebody said earlier on, it's not about finger pointing, it's really about creating a platform for whoever comes after us. So just let's give you 5 minutes and then Klaas throw Kohlberg 5 minutes, because we've already run too long just on this one mention.
Thank you, Chetan. Mine would even be less effective, because I'm impressed with what Mr. Klaas has put to us about lines of communication. What I want to say is that I'm not clear how this is going to be done, because insofar as GIF is concerned, every report prepared by GIF has been sent to me. It's not that when we come here, they have not seen this. What you're talking about, we send the copy to the chairman of the portfolio committee, we send it to the minister, and we send it to the department. Yes. So they are always away. But they've never come back to us and say, look, before the meeting with the portfolio committee, they say, look, we've seen we've got your report. Can you please arrange for us to postpone the meeting so that you can solve this thing? So what I'm worried about is the time frame. What he says is admirable. Whether it will work or not is something else. That's all I want to say. We have never come here with reports not having sent those reports to TCS. They always have the reports. But they never come to us and say, look, they are complaining that, well, we should have meetings together. But they do get the report. Every time a chief prepares a report, it goes to the chair of the portfolio committee, it goes to the minister, it goes to TCS. And I think it's also received by the members of the portfolio committee. So we never just come here as a surprise, you know, surprise document. It's not a surprise document. Now, if we can arrange time, that is my worry now. When in all this will it happen? You see, after we come to this committee chair, we had a report here. Then we had a supplementary report where there were answers in the last column. For instance, if I open one page, for a matter which was reported, a matter which occurred on the 2nd of October, this is the Grahamstown matter, it was reported on the 7th of November to DCS, or officials of DCS. The response of court is dated the 4th of February. So that is what is running the time frame. Now, how is it organized? That's all I understand.
Before 1994, it was a total different system. The current
New South Africa considered this, implemented inspecting just. There was a question here, and I don't have that information because I was not close to the system. Why is it part of DCS? That part I will refrain to say anything. But I really want to suggest that the proposal from Mr. Clark was the intention of DCS after we have met at the commission to see how can we improve, not to have this unnecessary discussion. I respect the judge, but I think we will need to sit down with the acting CEO of OBJIC, work out the final details, agree upon, and then implement the system. Because if there is a matter as written by the judge of October, that was referred in November, if there are constant interactions, six people on ground level, regional level, and at the head office will be aware, and there will be reasons why there's a delay. And then we will take care of this blank spaces, which not only bothers the portfolio committee, that bothers us as a department. Chair, I just want to ask Mr. Clark to wrap up. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, maybe just to say that the Corona Administration system has noted some of the issues. We will take those issues once we reach the document. Same to say, I think we are raising this issue because currently we don't have any system on paper that says this is how we want to work. That's why we are
putting it.
Take the delay in the start.
The second point I want to make, not on the issue of consequences. Maybe what we need to do, because sometimes when we report the issues we don't break down to identify the disease for this or this number was suspended for this. That maybe at some point we need to just break that down to show you that there are consequences. It's not as if we are imagining that it just is an easy way you see a blatant transgression of the rules of regulation or the law and you don't take any decisions. But also it should be understood that some of the things take a very long time. Especially when people are deceived, sometimes they appeal, counter appeal. You find that I've got cases where it's almost 3 years there, now the labor free court, the person has to do it almost 3 years ago. Then there are some things, the reality that some of these cases, there are these rules and realities of labor relations, which we did. But I think we will break down some of the steps to show where action has been taken. Head of Central and Area Commissioners are aware. For this, and maybe just in the on monthly basis, in all our regions, the GIPS report is part of our monthly meeting. So when we agree on this system, it is then bring us that opportunity to say, after we've discussed, to engage with them, to say, for this issue, this is the nature of the problem, this is how we go forward. That's why let's sit down, let's agree on the system so that it should be easy for the portfolio committee to know when we say that there are issues around the nation, how we deal with those issues. I think this in part deals with the issues around the report. But coming to the last issue, which I think is in my comment on the issue of the budget, I think that the portfolio committee understood that this is you go to treasury, you request funding. So any of the components, including GIPS, bids for money. That must then go into our overall budget to go and bid. And treasury would allocate a certain amount. Now, the last engagement on the budget, I think, was around December. Since December, the CFO communicated the preliminary allocation. We only at the budget meeting to finalize. She would then now formally sit down with different components within DCS and UGIC to communicate those. The same correspondence that was sent to Jesus, that's the original commission, to say for this financial aid, this is going to work. Now, in reason, it's not that she doesn't have to communicate with us, but she first had to, she was just giving us plans. Then from there, she will come and sit down with each one of us. Now that this is your budget for a year, this is how we move forward from that, based on what pressure is our people. And I must have to say that, as the chair was giving the reference, if you look, it is a substantial increase. That shows our commitment to making this relationship work. As you see, if the Constitution enjoins us to do something, not a single one of us will want to undermine that constitutional. And that is why I'm saying that even with every center and area commission, every time we sit down with them, we should emphasize that point. That it's not about individuals. If the Constitution gives any responsibility, this is how we want to carry that responsibility and make sure that we achieve the thank you, Chief.
Mr.
Parker,
do you
want to
add?
Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
There is constant communication and giving because there are signs too, but also it may be when you're directing in the judgment of the people, but you were allocated a person by the DOG that they are giving us an education.
Start with the last one. You know, the Jigs came to us and said they asked for 18 million, they got 9 million, and I think that's not going to happen. And they didn't get it, obviously, because of the issues we raised in the class about the league. But let me indicate to you your own report, and I warned you before we start. When you answer this committee, you must be able to substantiate it with what we have here. Your own report says, under rehabilitation, which is probably where they play the most role, you currently are underspending by 74 million rand. Currently. You see, the problem that we have is you argue that you can't give them money because they don't have money, but you are perennial underspenders of your budget. And you say to us your underspending is due to vacancy. Now, you can't on one hand say we can't give somebody who you all say is a critical player. But on the other hand, you return money to the Treasury because you've not been able to spend your wages. When you respond to us again, remember that I'm sitting with this report. This is your report. Today, we were expecting you to spend at least 395 million rand. You've only spent 320 million rand. That's the 74 million rand that I'm talking about. And you're not going to fill those holes in the next 3 months, but in the meantime, with the Abraham concern of somebody who can't get finalization, continue to go and say you don't have money. We have to reprioritize how we do it. It can't be that this bureaucratic process you're talking about with Kareka results in people not getting the treatment that they're getting. And I can assure you, Mamgwenya, at the end of this year, there will be massive underspending. And Labanzi Bakala for 9 million rand. So, those are the kinds of things that we are raising. And also, the final point that I wanted to make is that I'm hoping Mr. Smallberg and also Judge Chabalala, again, we've raised this thing many years, the instability of leadership in these institutions is what is causing this. There's an acting CEO in your story. I think it was Mangonja or somebody said, is there a COO? It doesn't bode well. Because whatever we're talking about now, when we get a new CEO in your area, or a new COO this side, all these things fall flat. And we've raised these things for the past 5 years, the instability of leadership in correctness. So I want to repeat, we were not mad when we said that number. We knew why we were saying it. So, please fix up the priority. If we really know that we're not going to spend on Cindy, then let's take it and give it some hope. And let us try and fix up Gwen and small brothers. The stability of leadership in DCF, just the stability of leadership in six, because that's where the problem seems to lie. And everything else that you're talking about hopefully will be implemented going forward. So I'm hoping members will stay about this, this part of the. Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody else. It's quarter past. I'm not going about 25 times 11. We were going to go through the whole report. We were also, remember, we had a great song here, Gucci. There were three items that we were wanting to deal with later on. I'm not quite sure, members, if we continue this way, whether we're going to do those type of things. So, it's the entire report. We wanted to find out how far are they with our own priorities in terms of all these things that we want, plus these items. I'm not sure how we want to tackle them now, because we have to get through all of them at some point. At some point, we have to get through all of them.
Thank you,
Mr.
President. I think, Chatterton, now we need to move on to the administration. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. President. 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 Thank you, Mr. President.
The issue of what happens in Mangawa, but for now, Chairperson, let's talk to our one admin. All right. Does anybody want to tell me? Really, I think the question that we were asking you is, what is your assessment of your successes in terms of administration? Remember, we had said that we're focusing on administration, we're going to move towards increased reform. It can't happen overnight in 2009. But we're now 2014. Have we made any progress? And if you say yes and we agree, we'll say it's not correct. If you say yes and we disagree, members will tell you why they disagree. Very briefly, around administration, where we were in 2009 when we decided what to focus on it, and where we are today, and have there been progress? If not, why not? What we said. No, we don't have questions. We want you to tell us. Under administration, we said that administration is the bedrock of all these other things we're talking about. And I think that's what Max is saying. If you never had a stable administration, all these things are not going to work. And also, you've never received a report other than a qualified report from 1994 to 2009 when you joined. And by the time we leave, we want you to have a unqualified report. The question is, in your own assessment, have we made any progress in that regard? Yes, no, you want to substantiate, you want to substantiate, you allow members to give us their own views, but your views, around administration, what is your sense from 2009 until today? Are we making progress in the specific areas that we were looking at? Are we moving towards a clean audit report? Do you think? And I think that's really the only one, because around administration is really the clean audit report and your perennial underspending and those type of things.
Commissioner has approved that effective reporting, because you have what you call it, management of individuals and governments for levels of wellness and continuous assessment areas. And kind of we want to elevate that, the asset management on its own, from the top to the least business department, we use it as a care team so that we instill that in the community. And another part that we do is the problem of formatting the old report of the management of the relationship, lastly, with this strategy, or if we're dealing with communication and the process of engaging, but the whole issue of the condition of our assets. And we had to have a campaign where all of us were deployed to all people, not necessarily the centers of aging, but some of the centers. Not only to the centers like aging, we went literally to all centers. And we had to go and just take everything, not say that, you know, we have much problems in the center. Our centers are not the problems. They are not all the problems. There are centers in the CS where don't even have a management report on aging. Aging is more and on it, and aging is something you can say, administratively, that I've audited everything, I don't have anything to say to it. Everything I have tested, we have tested that one of the least and others in the agency, where successfully, for a number of years, they've maintained statistics. So what we do is we keep on assessing the different stages of our centers and kind of then elevating to say as much as at a target level in the department you are saying unqualified. But for you specifically management areas, we are upping the bar because we know that in terms of capacity, in terms of management capacity, you do have capacity that you can be at that same level as an urban where 80 can go and come back and say, I've gone ahead, all of these institutions, I've checked assets, I've checked expenditure, everything is okay. And one of the centers that we are kind of mentoring to that level, it is Krugersdorp and Johannesburg. Johannesburg being one of our biggest management areas. But in terms of the quality of management, in terms of the commitment, in terms of for us, the improvement over here, they are actually, in terms of the outcome, they are not your main contributors to the qualification. Instead, they have minor issues that they can pick up, one or two issues that they can So we are constantly internally trying to add up to the management area where essentially we can say as much as our team report target is far beyond, but these ones we want to ensure that we push on. For example, in the interim audit of AG, in Kubernetes, specifically, AG audited the expenditure, audited the commitment, audited everything on the way. AG is identity. So we are saying that as a department, the commitment is there and the commitment is there, and the first direction is uncommitment. But then with that, a potential thing that this department must take a commitment. But in that process, we need to take up our own responsibility. And I'm sure, of course, that where I've been done wrong, I'm held accountable. I think that's how the department can get something. But we constantly monitor all the management areas. But in the same way, the one issue we had a session with AC towards the end of last year, we then said we need to do this. We can't afford, I must say, everything. Not as a big department that is still supporting your system with the manual steps. Okay, we've been doing it for over 2 years now, but you then get this error that because it's really manual, the system is not able to cope with people. And one of the things that we currently the treasurer with the asset kind of exercise don't mean a department that is going to the data to go through our own issues where we need them and their support. We're not saying that the treasurer with support won't automatically move GCS from quality issues to an unqualified, but what we are saying is the support that we are and I must say we are saying we welcome but I think we the assets and aging on the other hand is against them. I say once you understand who is, once you understand the role of aging, but we don't need that kind of assistance because some of the issues that we discover are issues that we find that added to the report comes to the end, but the end is beyond the cost. And in that regard, they must step up to actually audit, the system audit
on the translator system, for example, on the translator system, that we had invited AG on our meeting with Treasury, on the fact that they had their pertinent information on the issues that we are dealing with and the issues that we are dealing with. We are all for the outcome of the outcome of the outcome of the outcome of the
General never had any supporting documents that he could audit with. There were issues around no capacity. You had 90% consultants all over in your department. All over. There were consultants working for DCF. Lots of vacancies that were there when we took over Mangwe. That's what we found here. And we said, by the end of our term, we want an unqualified audit. You are saying to us, but you have covered many things. We might not get an unqualified report by the time me and Mangwenya leave office, but the next one will be unqualified. That's what you are saying. Yeah, I will not give a cover.
The department should provide this committee with the feedback of filling the vacant of chief finance officer and those of other senior managers. Also, Chatterton, I wonder what is the status with a development of the correctional academy structure? They must give us an answer. Another thing,
Academy.
Yes, academy. But,
you have a college,
don't you? Yes.
Okay.
I want to check the development of it. In terms of the improvement of the professional, also the department should give feedback on establishment with professional body for content. Again, Captain, the department should give the status of the 7-day establishment and heat system which whether it is working satisfaction or not.
You remember, Chair, that this 7-day establishment, we're talking about it, it was like a song. Always, this 7-day establishment, we find when we go to oversight, there's a shortage of staff. A member is looking after 1,000 people. Then our question was, is 7 days of working or not? Also, the department must tell us about this.
Again, Chair, can the department give feedback on their relationship with their internal body committee? And the department should inform comments again check about position of the chief police expert. Then I'll leave others to another other members to ask because this report check is talking about understanding, and I'm worried to about this understanding and there's a budget that they put in terms of the vacants. But this vacant category are not
Thank you. Honourable Mr. Lamakakula, and then Ma'am Palisha, you follow.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'm late. It's because of my time.
Aye, 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 aye. Continue.
I read the report yesterday, the document yesterday, and what did happen now, we are speaking about the administration. And in the administration, I mean, we mean the entire administration, the running of the department. Chairperson, you remember that last week we spoke a lot about the kitchen. We also want to know that is the kitchen running very smooth. Did you award the tender to whom? Because we were not aware that we were not having the broader picture. So that we know that from there now everything is over. And also is still what is still this seven days establishment, and also the kitchen is about the seven centers, or you add some more, and if you add some more, why and where. Another thing is the issue of textile. You remember that we spoke about it here, and then it disappeared. We never know what is happening. And we knew that we really need it in our community. And then how far in terms of administrating that? And then did you still on tenders, or you still waiting for IDP, or what else? What is really happening on that? Or we still waiting for GPI? What is really happening on that issue of the GPI? And the issue of the IT. Just brief us, tell us, so that we'll be on track, that in the IT, where we from, and then where are we are going, so that we knew that this our department, in terms of this, because remember, it's you who raised this thing to us, and we still have those things, and then we want to know what is happening. I think Chapel said, I'll come to the second part if there is anything that... I don't get it
to heaven
after, I think.
Can I have you follow?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would want to clarify of how long were the president's statements. You met that question, the application of
doing. Sorry, we're talking about how many vacancies or how long?
For the unit of the organization, we have already been the vacancy. Why I'm asking this question? Because it's for this batch of people in DCS outfit, in DCS outfit. So this play is going on in and out in the meeting. So we need now to hear. Because they are supposed to be rehabilitated, and we thought that they had had a very nice party. On a very fair hotel, it was nice with them, and they were playing Kurnabara. So to me, when are these positions expected to be filled if the vacancies are still there? So we will get the explanation. Because they are supposed to be rehabilitated, all the inmates. When you come to the reintegration program, then you have at least rehabilitated this person to be reintegrated with society. The other thing that I really need also to stress and put on record here is the issue of correctional services head office. How far is the department with the head office over tomorrow or day after tomorrow? We will also see headlines of media telling us of corruption, telling us there was a signing of a building for correctional services. The danger of that is that we were there. We saw how dangerous that building is.
So really, correctional services, we could tell us, did they start a process, or how far are they with headquarters of correctional services? Are they going to build a new building because we said to them, build a new one, because that one, very, 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 and it is going to take the very same expense compared to a building out of from scratch. So we were giving them the advice of, do it from scratch, don't go and hire and sign buildings that are already old infrastructure, and then you will be bogged down with corruption, and sign what, and sign what. The issue also of building the new copies, we would like to know how far, because it's over half the size, we will be served about that facility. And we also need a light on the building of the theaters, Van Rensdorp and Van Rensdorp. Are we finished now with them? What is the thing now?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask two things. The ministerial task team, what is the status of that? And as well as the 2008, the second group salary adjustments, which were problematic and further on, I'm covered with my inputs of my colleagues. I just want to say to Mr. Walberg and Mr. Makuna, I also applied for the position of commissioner, so we might deal with each other.
It's quarter to 12 on this matter. I really don't want to take too long because it's to influence our report. So we will give all of you, whoever wants to respond, a maximum of 5 to 10 minutes. The maximum of 5 to 10 minutes. I'm hoping you've been taking notes of the issues that members have raised. At 10 minutes, if you've not been able to put your point across, we are moving to the next one.
Let me start with the issue of the Group 2 of 2008. The matter is currently before court. We did engage our labor partners, and the sense that we got was that it needed to go to court from their perspective. So we're waiting for the court to adjudicate on the matter. As far as the ministerial task is concerned, as I said previously, we have made great strides on the issue. I can indicate that as things stand, there are probably about four issues where we are still trying to find each other with organized labor. One of those issues is the shift pattern, it's the 7-day establishment, it's the second phase of OSD, and the last issue is the issue of the promotion policy. Everything else that was before the ministerial task team has been resolved to the satisfaction of parties. I can mention, at the risk of not forgetting everything, there is another matter of artisans that that organized labor has indicated that we're not given an option to choose whether to remain within the correction stream or to move into the accident stream, and that is also another matter. So, give or take, we have about 5 matters that are still to be resolved by parties. What is critical is that the lines of communication continue to exist between ourselves and organized labor in that regard, which for me bodes well, given where we come from. I think members would be aware that CEC of one of the organized labor last year, when the chairperson read or the secretary general read the report, they said the relationship with CCS is non-existent. However, this the current year, the past year, when the same labor organization had their CEC, they gave, and it's public record, they gave the relationship that they had with the organization a thumbs up. Of course, from time to time, our relationship is that of a contested terrain. There are things that we don't agree upon, but what is good is that we do have lines of communication open between parties.
as far as the filling of the vacancy, rather, I think it's important, Chair, just to highlight, I was looking at some of the stats that we have. And as April last year, I think GPSA released a report in terms of vacancies. At the top, you had the NPA that stood at 0.16%, followed by PEP at 2.11%, and the third best performing department as far as vacancy rate is concerned was DCS, which at that point stood at 3.93%. And then you can, I don't have to go into the whole list of other departments that then stood at 20% and above. So I think that's the context that we have to look at when we talk about the issues of vacancies within the state. We are really talking about a department that has made great strides in terms of creating employment and creating opportunities for our children. I mean, it also helps to point out that this is the same department that receives recognition from the Department of Higher Education as being the department that provides employment opportunities. Because when our learners finish the learnership, we do not release them. We maintain them within the department. And in that way, we have been able to systematically ensure that all the vacancies at entry level, as and when they occur, we have a ready surplus of learners or of qualified correctional officials who can then come in and fill those vacancies. So as things stand, at your CO1 level, you do not have vacancies because there are already people that are on standby. Those that we cannot absorb because we don't have vacancies and we don't want to run fall foul of treasury regulation, we then keep them on contract. It may not be the most elegant solution that you have available, but what you then have is a question that says there is an option of being unemployed and there is an option of being employed but being retained on contract. Which one is a lesser devil, so to speak. So that is as far as your vacancy rate is concerned in the department. There was a national directive that was issued by the IT National Commissioner as far as the filling of vacancies. And we have a complete report that indicates at SMS level where each and every vacancy is. And I can indicate that between when the Commissioner appeared last year and now, we have made great strides in terms of filling all the senior level positions. The only positions that at this point in time is about constituting panels and ensuring that the meeting of minds in terms of that are the top senior positions, the National Commissioner, the CDC Strategic Management, the CFO, as well as the CAE, the Chief Audit Executive. I can indicate as far as the CAE that the shortlisting panel has been put together. Parties will be meeting to conduct the shortlisting. It helps, I think, also to point out that as the CFO was complaining or raising an important point about systems. We have instituted measures to try and reduce the vacancy rate. For instance, we have decentralized the recruitment to the region. But up until you have systems in place and you move away from the current paper and manual exercise, all you are simply doing is removing this bottleneck from head office and you are removing it to the region. Because in the subscription rate, on average, you have more than 500 people that would apply for a position, regardless of what it is. And that is a function of what you currently are finding out there in the public. Now, you would have people that apply for the National Commissioner position when all that they really have is less than even a high school qualification. But by law, you are required to go through each and every of those in the event that the person comes back and says, what happened to my application? Because you have administrative justice in this country, and so each and every of those, you have to go through them. But at some point, the subscription rate becomes so high that it becomes very difficult to go through all of them without putting in jeopardy your own timeline to meet your stipulated timeline to fill the vacancies on time. On the professional council for the academy, last year we reported that we had not made progress on that, and that was largely due to the lack of funds as far as that is concerned, which then in fact affected the putting together of a business case. We have since put together a business case We have a service provider that is on site to assist us with the business case, and that has been done. And what now needs to happen is that the business case needs to be put on route for approval at the relevant authority. For that to now basically be established, the professional counsel for collection. Jefferson, if I may have missed the point, if I may have said in doubt.
No. I'm looking at it. I think the 7-day establishment, I'm not sure if it's yours or somebody else. So I think if it is yours, you can deal with it. But I think you're going to help us. It's one thing saying that you've got administrative justice in terms of having to go through 1,000 CVs. But, you know, Jenny's position has been vacant, I think, for almost a year now. Strategic management. Since the last CFO has led to defense, we've never ever had we just need something there. If you can't do it today, we're hoping you'll take it to the minister and say that we are raising concerns around the length of time it takes. 1,000 people also applied for the agent position. Others that were, like you say, have no qualifications other than matric. But we filled that position because there was an urgency. We're just saying that that same urgency must apply here. That's all that we're saying. It doesn't mean you're going to shortcut not applying everybody, but I think those arguments that you're raising apply across the board. Whether it is DCS, whether it's police, whether it is the Auditor General. So just raise those things. But talk to us about the 7-day establishment. It is yours, the 7-day establishment. Just to remind, and you said the chief audit executive, that's also been shortlisted and so on. So just to remind everybody, it's a 7-day establishment, the relationship with internal audit, the effectiveness, no, those will cover the chief item, not those effectiveness of kitchen, turnstile, IT, head office, building, and Leocorp, series from Reinsdorf, and run play. Those are the ones that would be, you could talk to those ones and we'll move on. Anybody?
Okay, we assigned leaders to respond to them. They will start in the public sector.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The new run play we opened it last year in October. With respect to sales and finance, the contractor who was inside was declared bankrupt and so on. Last night, Public Works convened a meeting with the contractor and the director.
What's the name of that consultant? I think we must name and shame them. Who is that consultant that declared bankrupt? Everybody's name?
I don't have the name.
Will you give us his name? I'll tell you why. Because he'll be bankrupt in series, and he'll be the one that is doing Leocorp tomorrow. We want to know who's this bankrupt. And because Treasury said those type of people must be blacklisted. So it's either have you guys started the process to blacklist them, if not, give that information.
Yeah, maybe just we will follow that, but the doctor and professor told that they had a contract with Public Works. But apparently there was a company that gave the guarantee, that was the guarantor for this one. So that company has now taken over the work. And they have made undertakings to say they will complete that work in the next 3 months. So we are meeting with them on monthly basis to track sales and contracts. So we hope that within 3 months as the guarantor is undertaken.
HQ Leocorp, anybody wants to talk to HQ Leocorp?
No.
Zella?
Thank you, Chairperson. The head of fixed building, currently we are on a 3-year contract with the landlord through Public Works. However, the process has prepared has already started, wherein we have identified a site
that Cebu Public were swayed in with a new facility, a new head office, that would be purely based on our needs. And we are anticipating that by the time this contract, the current contract has, would be almost 80% progress on the new anticipated building. The other one around the Sondolo Chelsea's scoping, we are currently doing the scoping exercise around the integrated security. Previously we had a situation where we find that the security within our facilities was not integrated in terms of IT. So we are looking at doing the whole integration from when you enter the building and when you leave the building in terms of various access controls. That process is currently underway. A detailed report we are anticipating to get by the end of March. From there, then the other processes will then have to follow around financing the car project and going ahead with it. The other one is around the Leokop prison. We are currently also doing a feasibility study around Leokop to look at various options. Remember, Leokop is a good facility. We are looking at various options. Option number one is around demolishing it completely and looking at building it afresh, and look at the cost benefit between starting it all afresh or revamping the existing structures. The report, we are currently looking at a situation through consultants that will give us a detailed report to say which one would be more cost effective. Bearing in mind that Leokop is located in an area that has got serious biodiversity in terms of environment, and we need to factor those things because they are part of our legal requirement. It's frogs, but it's part of biodiversity, and we have to factor all those elements when we undertake this project. So again, here in Leokop, the detailed report around this we are expecting around end of March, then the process will then be informed by the findings and recommendations of the report.
Just from our comments, you know, everything that you say does apply. We visited Leokop, I think it was 2007 and 2008. I don't know what the year, but we can give you the year. At that meeting, Ubaba RC now, Modise said to us that you guys were going to move people to Boxburg while you demo. We can't, especially the juvenile one. And then we can't have that thing. We can't have that thing. So your argument of, and we said to you at the time, if it is about the EIA, then let us know. Because on the one hand, Water Affairs Environment says they want to shorten this thing. Yeah, you say so for 5 years. You either take a decision whether you're going to rehabilitate it or not. We were there now, not so long ago. They continue to eat outside Bangui. Those young people continue to eat out. I don't know how they live, especially with the heat wave that we have in Gauteng now. In those things. So that it doesn't sit well with us that you say to us by March, consultants will come to you. It's not going to help us, including the head office. In the head office, if memory serves me correctly, the previous minister had appointed an individual whose main task was to appoint, was to do that project. You appointed an individual. When we asked Lomun to know what he's doing here, his job was to go and do this project. Now, if 4 years down the line it's not been done, and he's still within our employment, then something must be wrong. Then something must be wrong for us. So between you and Indrana, those things don't hold water. Quite honestly, they don't. They really do not hold water with us. We are not sure what you what can handle in this department. What really is happening? That you can give the committee a grant you're giving us now, which in March the thing will be done. When we come in March, you'll be telling us what you know, there's something else that's happened. So, I mean, those are the things that you guys will have to fix up, because it's certainly going to raise its head in our latest report, unless between now and when the minister comes to give us some satisfaction, including the turnstile, sir. every year we've been told, and every year you put it in your threat letter, that this year we'll reach 76%. I don't know what the last one was. I think outcome, I don't know how many, you had only about 13 working. First I've come to this company. Your turnstiles in Durban Westville, you lock them up with handcuffs. So don't come and say to us that some consultant is doing something after 5 years. And all of you have been putting this in your stress flag for the 5 years that I have been here. And only in March you look at it, because we're going to leave in March. A new committee must come and take over Mangwenya, what we've been fighting for the past 5 years. So, Zela, you guys have to go and check yourselves out. Because what you were talking about now was facilities. And let me remind you what we said on facilities. The construction of the sixth new generation, unfortunately, we don't have the answer to that because we've dealt with that one. But we also said the suitability of accommodation for juveniles. That was in our program 5 years ago. Optimizing utilization of existing facilities. Those were, when we said facilities, those were the areas that we were looking at. And on those, we can tell you right now that I think you're going to get very low marks in terms of fixing up the facilities. Because even Kimberley was a disaster. Van Reinsdorf and Ceres, you are still waiting for that to happen, and we are told that somebody went bankrupt. And I think our facilities, we're not going to give you guys very good marks. I really don't think so, but it's up to the members. So, can somebody talk to us about internal audit arrangements? Your kitchen, your IT, ma? Because now Leokop and those, you've given us the responsibility, but we just think to you that that's not going to fly with us. Somebody wants to talk to us on IT, somebody wants to talk to us with internal audit, kitchen, turnstiles, you've spoken to us about, you don't have to repeat, but we will put in our report. 7-day establishment, did somebody talk to 7-day establishment? You did? Okay. No?
No.
7-day establishment, internal audit, kitchen, stroke, nutrition, and IT. Very, very briefly, Martha.
Okay, I'll report on IT.
Yeah.
I think the issues first were the consultants, where we had almost about 180 consultants. At ECS, the IT consultant, we can unfortunately say that we have issues drastically those consultants to about 31. And those 31 are the skills that you really require in terms of doing the work. So it's not that consultants just consulting or administrative work, it's stuff that you require a business analyst, you require database administrator, which currently, unfortunately, on the establishment, you don't have such folks, or such folks are in a very low level where you cannot attract the right people. So obviously, with the working of the structure, we are making sure that those skills levels are accommodated in the structure that we are developing for IT for the department. So we have reduced. The second thing, we had about 100 page of police reports that ranges from various things, governance, unstable environment, and so many other things. And today, I can report that we only have a 2-pager on audit, on IT. 3 points of it are related to the children's health system, which is obviously the issue on best sexual and login, which we're not in control of, and the other issue are mainly the issues of disaster recovery and the infrastructure. So the disaster recovery and the infrastructure in the last 2 weeks, unfortunately, have received a positive outcome from EPSA that says that we can do our own procurement in terms of that. Because we have previously also depending on CETA to do such services, which almost, if you look at frankly, it took them more than 2 years to do one site. So if you multiply that with the 400 sites that we have, it means that they will be doing those things for 300 years and none of us will be here. So by those things of saying that DCS can do their own procurement and implementation of cabling as well as the back end infrastructure within the next 3 years, that will be able to achieve. So that's the positive movement. And the last issue probably that we need to report on are the issues around ARDOS. As I I have reported previously, there were certain things that we were not agreeing upon in terms of the framework agreement, but I can assure you that by today we have agreed in terms of all the sources, changes that have been made, therefore the document is just up for signature, then we'll be able to start the implementation. As a best scenario, we'll be implementing by August. As a worst, we'll, by November 2014, we'll have implemented and replaced the current system certificate, which also implies that we'll be able to identify our offenders. And identification is not only identification on the remand side, it's identification on the incarcerated individuals as well as the integration to the IJS.
On the last one, because we're going to be using it on its own, our film is no longer an issue, and I said no longer an issue, at the worst by August, at the best is by August this year, we'll have a system that deals with waiting for remand detention management and more than that. That's what we're doing by August. And by, at the worst?
By November.
So the whole issue around the court case with DD and you guys asking for invoices this way and that, all those things are done.
The whole issue around DD and court cases are done because that's the settlement agreement. But the invoices is a separate matter, which they still need to prove that we owe them that money. And that matter, they have taken it to FIU, which also taken it to DPSA, where they have said, fully sit up, prove that the service is well done. But if you can't prove it, we don't owe you anything.
All right, so IT is getting better from where we were the last time.
Yes.
All right, internal audit, 7 days, nutrition.
7 days. Thanks, Captain. I thought earlier when I covered 2 points, it does seem to find the evening instead of something. But I think it needs to be put in context that perhaps it's how we have phrased it. There is no debate about whether the department is a 7-day establishment or not. There is no point where we can revert back to the previous regime where it was a 5-day establishment and then you were looking at an overtime bill of plus 8 billion on an annual basis. Part of the reason why we went into the 7-day establishment together with our labor partners was basically to curb, amongst others, to curb the excessive overtime that we were incurring at the time. What we are currently discussing with our partners is the appropriate shift model that we would be able to roll out consistently and uniformly across the organization. Because currently what you find is that depending on the staffing level, you may find that different centers are implementing different shift models. Now, and you can't force them for that, because what we still need to do is to establish a baseline state. What is the appropriate shift model? And what is the appropriate staffing model? Because you recall that a couple of years ago, when the 7-day establishment was piloted in Johannesburg, the task team then put together a report that said that if you are at 80% staffing norm or level, you can basically migrate into the current shift model that we have. But obviously, the passage of time has meant that we need to go back and revalidate those thoughts and the assumptions. But what we have now in our position is that we've exchanged documents with our labor partners. We've put before them what our appropriate staffing norms in our view ought to be. And the response is forthcoming from them. Because once we have that, we will then be able to then say, within DCS, if you are running a small unit or a small center, what should be the appropriate number? If you are running a medium-sized center, what should be the number? And if you are running a large center such as your Johannesburg, what ought to be the number? Because that also talks to your staffing ratios to say, is it supposed to be 1:5 or 1:10? And that is basically the information that we currently have at our disposal that we are discussing with organized labor in the end.
You never had an internal audit. Internal audit.
audit department that was effective. You've never had that before. So do you have an internal audit with a head of internal audit? We know the audit committee is independent. I think what members are asking about, do you have an internal audit? Because we know that internal audit at some point has been outsourced to Pricewaterhouse or one of those people at some point, isn't it? Now, the question is, have you got the capacity to do internal audits in-house? That, I think, is the point that we are raising. Because Auditor General continuously says to us, he can't rely on the information that you provide to him. And that should be the role of internal audit, so that when it gets to the Auditor General, he has a bit of comfort that this information is correct. I think that is the reason why we are raising. So it's more internal auditors. The audit committee will call them. We'll call the audit committee and ask them to respond when we want them to respond. But internal audit, do you have such a thing called internal audit? And if you do, how effective is it in helping you move to come back?
In terms of the draft policy, there is the international component, which I would say we are trying to minimize costs. For the past many years, there is the component that has a cost of services from private sector, which could be seen as a global problem. I know that the current contract is supposed to be expiring end of March. So if we are to talk about effectiveness as an internal component, I would say yes, for good functional and good effective internal component, there is a component quite small and on its own we are expected to look at the minimum standard.
Well, Tom Rucker, as we said to Jenna there, 5 years you've never had internal audit capacity in this department. You've consulted it to all the big five. Internal audit, we're not talking about the CFO who needs to be a CA or those type of things. The things that Max was talking about, because that's what internal audit does. Make sure that processes are in place, policy has been followed. We think you must reconsider whether you should tender it out for another 3 years. Because the other thing that I'm saying to you, when we appoint consultants, part of the job of consultants must be to transfer skills. He's been there for 3 years, we must now go and get somebody else. What skills has he or she transferred in those 3 years? Because otherwise we're creating jobs for Pricewaterhouse, Ernst & Young, and those type of things. We want to see, or we will put it in this report, that we want to see the conditions under which you appoint external internal auditors and their commitment transfer those skills in-house. We might not be here, but whoever's here is going to be. We can't consistently just outsource something as basic as internal audit.
One management area on in the current contract
had serious problems where the boiler is sitting here and
right.
still not working. The matter has been referred to the VW for ages, and we had instances where now our officials have gone took outside. Now, you know, the old way of looking outside, making firewood, and so they get caught all of that. And that thing can be an academic level. So we had this conscious taken action. With soft commitment from the VW for that decision, I was also involved in that decision. They wanted commitment on the country, when would be the boiler functional at Kumbani, and there was no commitment at all. I mean, the community is where they are just not committing, basically that they engage a contractor. And I know one of the contractors that they engage was someone who didn't know what the boiler is.
Yeah.
So those are the challenges that we have to do, we engage the country and all of that. So we had to rescue the situation, but we can't afford to provide proper we had contacted the department to actually improve, and with a condition that should the boiler then work, there is a clause in our extension, then we tend to give the contractor 1 month notice to pull out of complaint contract for the particular incident on the current contract. But because there's no commitment, so it is a problem that if the leader comes on board, fix the boiler, and that tested for the thing that if this was pulled out, if this is the state, this, when they test, that's it. So that's the part that we said to the current contractor, and that's the argument. If the boiler is working and tested that the functional, we give you 1 month of it to pull out the boiler. But if not, it is there, it will continue. It depends on the only one.
Inmate reintegration, at the point we said stigmatization was a problem. Many inmates have come out and can't get jobs, and is there anything that we can do about that? And also community accepting inmates, and inmates being able to integrate into the community with more ease, as opposed to saying, I'd rather commit a crime and go back. Anybody wants to talk on those matters? Again, we're asking the question, how far have we moved from 2009 until now? You will respond, and if that response is not acceptable, members will then say, no, but we are not happy, we're happy. Really, just have we made any progress with stigmatization? Have we made any progress in terms of, as CDS, facilitating the ease of community accepting ex-offenders, and ex-offenders getting back into the community and feeling at home? Because that's also part of our job. Any progress?
Jay, I think just to mention again here that the committee will remember that the core branches were amended in 2012, where we had now a branch, the Chief Executive Commissioner responsible for community correction, which will respond here, and on the other two chairs here where you mentioned about the remand detention management. We have also the branch of remand detention, which was previously called within corrections. So the two respective CDCs will respond. Thank you.
No, the reason why we left remand detention, because with the Rockman, we really had a good... We finalized remand detention last week, except for the Arnhem's part of it. So we're quite happy with remand detention. We did it with Rockman at least 2 weeks in a row. So yeah, let us deal with reintegration. What is the progress? What is the plan? Ours is basically to say, are we better off today than we were in 2009? And why?
Thank you, Chair, and members of the portfolio committee. I must say that according to our assessment as the branch committee correction, we've made great strides in terms of social reintegration. In our ATP, we have a measurement there where we measure the offenders who violate their parole conditions. So as a measurement that is supposed to be assisting us to ensure that they don't re-offend, we measure the violations, and we check the increase in the numbers. I must say the number of offenders who do not violate the parole conditions have increased, and in our reports, quarterly reports, we have exceeded the targets that we have put in terms of that. The members of the portfolio committee will also realize that we piloted the electronic monitoring system, which is supposed to be assisting us in detecting the offenders at all times. And the benefit of the electronic monitoring system during the pilot stage is that it deters offenders from committing crimes and from violating their conditions. We, at the same time, have piloted the halfway houses as the community corrections branch, and the halfway houses basically are supposed to be the safety net for those people who do not have the support system and who do not have monitoring addresses. The pilot of the halfway houses has been successful and they've rolled out. Currently, we have three halfway houses in the three different regions, in Gauteng, in Element, and in Western Cape. And in those halfway houses, we continue with the program in terms of the correctional standards plan, and the offenders there, they get trained, they also undergo some other programs, and I must say that the current offenders in the Gauteng halfway house, I have all been employed. The NGOs that work with, they assist offenders with the reuniting them with their families, they assist them with getting IDs. And also in terms of training, we have partnered with other NGOs and NPOs. We have offenders who undergo training in firefighting, and we also have success stories there where offenders have been employed. We also, as the branch, also give us startup kits for those offenders who cannot get jobs so that they can be self-employed. An example is that today in the Western Cape, in the Southern Cape, we'll be giving out startup kits for vendors to start their own companies, that is, as entrepreneurs. And that is successful because we do have offenders who give testimonies on how successful their businesses are. Those startup kits, we've done them in all regions and in all management areas, not necessarily in all management areas. In Gauteng, we have given to about three management areas, Joburg, Pretoria, and Bagansport. We also have entered into memorandums of understanding with other government departments, for example, basic education and housing, in terms of the work that we do in the communities. We also hold individuals with the communities and tell the communities about the plight of the parolees and ex-offenders and how communities should embrace them and accept them as we have served their term. Also, the program on
No, we don't want the detail of everything. Our question is, do you think you're making progress? If you say yes, members will challenge you.
Okay.
Then you can come with all those details to substantiate. We just want to know, in terms of ours, we said this thing must happen. Has it happened or not?
Okay,
depending on how members feel, then you can go and list why you think that you're saying what you said.
Okay, thanks. Lastly, we think, yes, it is successful. Social integration as a program and is succeeding. The victim offender dialogue, which is part of our social integration, has also assisted a great deal during those sessions. Committees tend to get to know what has been behind the offender's mind when they committed those crimes, and there's usually acceptance and understanding of the victim's families and the communities. I can end there. Thank you.
All right. They're saying, as the DCS, they think they're making progress. Comments, challenges from members? Mamgwenya, followed by Zobo.
Captain, I'm going to start with a certain major subject. If the department says they are working well with the 70 establishment, I don't think that the 70 establishment has an advantage. I think, Captain, the department needs to go back and check thoroughly about the 70 establishment.
really, to me, Chairperson, is not working. Even the union also, they must help us about this 7 days exemption. It's not working at all. They need to review it. I don't think that in next year, those people who are going to sit in this committee, they are still going to talk about this 7 days exemption. That doesn't help the Department of Corrections. They must go back and review it and come up with a better strategy in terms of at all. Chairperson, in terms of the parole, Chair, also Chairperson, we need to, I want to ask the department, why, when they come here, they don't come with the Chairperson of the parole? Because Chair, we need to get a clear explanation on an image when it is dated in Cameroon. I understand all the process that she's saying in terms of the reintegration and the programs that are outside where the inmate is released. But Chair, if we are going to have this waterproof inmate that come in and out 3 times with parole, it's a challenge, Chair. I'm not saying that we must kill the good thing that is doing by other inmates that are out with parole. This is it is the Bangamboni. But what is this inmate doing in our center? Is not accepted at all of this waterproof. I want them to explain to us the capacity. How did these people get to parole, go out and come in? What is happening? Who is assessing that? Where is the parole board also to explain to us? For the people who get released with the parole, go out, come back, drinking in our center. We are still waiting for the report of what's this. That how have these inmates made a liquor inside in our center? How were those lot of cell phones was full on the table came in our center? We are not yet getting that report, Captain. Maybe we're looking at this four waterproof. Maybe there are more inmates that are in the party in our cell, that are drinking, that are dating each other walker inside in our cell. Really, people outside there, they are angry about this thing of waterproof. We need thoroughly explanation how did these people go out? And in and out, in and out, in and out. The speech button is not about the coma. Chair, it's a pitch, yes. I get the answers, but I'm still not satisfied, Chairperson, in terms of logo. We need a written report about logo. I'm not satisfied at all, Chairperson, about logo. It seems, Chairperson, when we leave there after our oversight, no one cares about what we're doing because work stretches there. But nothing is happening in Eloko. We're going to get the report in March. We don't know what this report will be telling us. I'm staying there in foundation. I never see any foundation to show that in March we're going to get better.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You recall, Chairperson, when we talk about parole, it always teaches me because when we talk about this parole thing, I wanted to be educated about the people, but I don't know the going on there. I'm talking about the teachers. Who has the contract? How long is the contract? When is the contract settled?
what will happen if it becomes expired? I just want to know that. Because we are talking about the people that have been given the contract. I just want to know who had it, when did he got it, how long did he, when did it expire? What will happen if that time comes and the things are not yet in place? We are looking forward, we are not going backwards, we are looking forward. What will happen if that time comes, let's say March, and the contract is supposed to expire, and things are not yet in place? What will happen? Thank you.
Abraham, and then Mr. Mack.
Chairperson, just two short ones. Firstly, Chair, regarding this whole issue of parole, at some stage or the other, I have asked that there are a number of people, I believe, who, in terms of their length of time in prison, actually qualify for parole. That if those people are advised of their rights, that they are aware that they may apply, etc., etc. There are certain cases where it's been toing and froing. Elderly people, 76, 77 years old, that are in prison for quite some time, they've gone beyond the limits of their qualification period. I think we should know exactly how many such people are there, how many of them are in a incapacitated state, chair, that they should rather be better off with their families in their last years. I don't think they should be capable now of going and reoffending. The second question, Chair, is I've heard of a new species today called a guarantor. Now, in the building industry, I don't know what it means. I've been involved in a little bit of small and yana building. But I've never heard of a guarantor. And I've never heard of a guarantor taking over a job. A guarantor, if you take a loan somewhere, and Advocate Max is a multimillionaire, signs as a surety for me, and I default, then they look at him to pay. I don't know what sort of guarantor are we talking of in this industry. And when I listen to my sister there talking about a boiler maker, a boiler contract, and the guy knows nothing about boilers, then I ask the question, Chair. It wasn't your responsibility to adjudicate the tender, because I take it that it is Public Works' responsibility. Then, Chairperson, it means that, well, you don't have time left, but I won't be here. But whoever is here next year, next term, Chair, should seriously look at this. Well, then there is something grossly wrong. As a tender is given to somebody, and that person doesn't have the qualification to do the job. And Chairperson, if I may leave a little bit of advice. I always believe that if you own something, you must be the boss over that which you own.
Full stop.
Something goes wrong in your institution, you should be in a position to get somebody to sort it out. Not get another party to do it and have this kind of result. It's not really a result. Thank you very much.
Chair, yes, I heard that we talk about the Waterproof 2A. So let me also then put in my spanners in the works. Firstly, I think I don't have any doubt until otherwise proven convinced that, first of all, corruption is involved there. There's corruption. Because there's rules and regulations that those things are not allowed in the tender. But someone, access to them, was bribed to allow those things. Secondly, there was a dereliction of duty as well. If they can act in the way that they, which I saw on television, obviously it is not confined to one or two people. So I would like to know, although there is an investigation under way. Even the center manager there should have come,
should have come, because that is totally unacceptable. And it proves once again, say, which you said when I joined you people here, and you were very strong on that particular point. This is confirmation that when you poor, you are not allowed this thing.
Yeah.
But when you got money,
then you can buy
this freedom. And is that now what this rules and the act and the constitution actually guarantees? Not that. They must be treated the same way. And those responsible for them to receive their privileges, their heads should be wrong. Their heads should be cut. If I was the National Commissioner, the Assembly Manager was suspended as we talk. Those responsible are suspended because you don't allow these things. You know, I want to see, I don't know when, this result will come when we are gone. Because it's only a couple of weeks. But the thing is, I would like to see what action is going to be taken to prove that these things is not going to be allowed. We talk about this corruption every time and again, as you mentioned in your introduction. But you know, there's no consequent management which I really see, and especially at the senior level for dereliction of duty. Thank you.
All right. Let's just help on this one. You'll ask on the last one that members made. Your stock response is going to be an investigation going on, and we accept that. What we want you to tell us is, what have you learned? Because we told you these things long time ago. We told you long time ago. So the details, I'm sure you're going to say just no, we are still investigating, we can't respond to it. There's very simple things that members are saying. There is no doubt that there has been collusion. No doubt that there's been collusion. Because you can't buy alcohol inside. So, the message we are sending is, find the person who brought the Johnny Walker in, and you must get rid of him or her. That's the message that we are saying. We're not interested in anything else, because you can't buy, alcohol is not served as part of the nutrition. So, the lesson, as we're sitting here at the Namur, these are part of your research. What are the lessons that we've learned? The detail is something that you will give us when the investigation is done, but on the detail, Mr. Max is saying, we want that detail as soon as possible, because your own regulations say you've got 72 hours to see somebody. So if the thing is going to run for a month, it means that he will be out within a week or whatever, 3 days. So from a time frame point of view, Mr. Max is correct. We want this thing as soon as possible. But what we are saying unequivocally is that there was collusion by members of DCN. Otherwise, it means a private member went in, gave it, came out, and Bonanga and Anthony. Those are the only two answers. Somebody brought it in or whatever. Because you see, a cell phone or a SIM card bangwanya is something that you can even put in your body orifice and those things that you're talking about. But you can't put a bottle of Johnny Walker anywhere that nobody can see. We are angry with you guys, quite frankly. I think we must put this thing clear that it's really a new right, Mongol. When we raised this matter in Durban, we were verified. Why are you guys saying this? That's why I'm asking you the question. We were not mad when we said these things, ladies. We were really not mad when we said these things. So please, when you respond to this one, we don't want the detail of you investigating it, but give us a time frame when you're going to come back and tell us and South Africans what went on there. Secondly, we will advocate strongly that if the inmates that are involved contravene any rule, they must pay the price for it. If officials were involved, they too must pay the price. That's the simple message that we're sending to you guys. So if you can respond to those things, we really got a few minutes, it's 1:45, and I allowed that one because it was one of the standalone. And it's 1:45, but Seven-day establishment, Water Group, Leocorp, written report. I don't think you have to respond to it unless, Mr. Zella, you think it's not a good idea, but we're asking for a written report on it, so you don't have to respond to it. Nutrition, who, when, why, what. Basically, Mr. Abraham is asking, do you guys have a parolee audit? Would you be able to say that these are the number of people who either qualify and we are waiting or should qualify, and what is this animal called guarantor? Those are basically the issues. In 5 minutes, because we still want to cover inmate privileges and rights, no, that's the only one, inmate privileges and rights, then we want to do Mangaung. We've done Argon, we've done Water Club now. Privileges and rights, Mangaung will be the next two, so we're going to be very briefly to deal with these ones. We will continue the discussion on the 4th if we don't think we can satisfy today.
Let me start with water. Firstly, we need to say at the department that we were really very serious when we noted what was on social media as well as in newspapers. So as we became aware at the department, we immediately re-arrested the two who were on that social media. Okay, and an investigation has started already on Sunday when they were brought back for that number of hours. Secondly, they completed the quick interim report, which was just giving the basics. Because of the fact that we are against time, meaning hours. Chair, I'm just summarizing. Yesterday, the two appeared before the what we call the disciplinary committee, and the decision was taken that the two of them need to remain within the correctional facility for another 14 days so that the case can be presented in front of the CSDB, the Correctional Supervision and Parole Board, where then a decision will be taken based on the fact what is in front of them. Here I want to separate the two issues. The fact that we are against time with the two offenders, but the investigation team chair of people outside the Pretoria Management Area who is doing the investigation. And as the minister said yesterday in a statement that he will not allow anarchy in the correctional centre, we want to reiterate that and say we as a department will also not allow that. Here, in terms of the full investigation, obviously it will look at all areas, as you are saying, collusion, how the leader come in, how whatever happened there. The issue of the two, I think we need to be patient, although I think as the portfolio committee as well as the public, everybody is very angry. But the processes that started to place them in front of the disciplinary committee, in front of the parole board to look at the facts that are available, we need to give that opportunity also for those structures. Also, Chair, in terms of the decision that you know everybody wants to be seen to be taken, we are eager to push that. I was hoping that by this time one would have information to share with the portfolio committee on the breakthrough in terms of action against staff, but unfortunately, as I'm sitting here today, I don't have that information as yet. But we said that we are splitting the two because we don't want that we are dragging our feet in terms of the two. We need to comply with time frames. And I want to reiterate that the decision was taken yesterday that they will remain in time, pending their appearance before the parole board. And then, Chair, let me also maybe assist with information by saying that there is a public perception to say that the parole board has taken a decision, how can you do anything now? See, the decision of the parole board of Poshimampuru, as well as the parole board of Sonavata, was taken some time ago. And the decision to release them, in terms of the Act Section 73 stipulates that you do qualify to be considered at the certain stage of your sentence in their regard on behalf of the sentence. And Sherry will remember at previous presentations about parole and case management committees, we indicated that we have moved the time before that 3 months earlier. In the past, it was 3 months before that time, and then we moved it to another 3 months to see them quite some time before they qualify, so that if you approve the parole, that they can attend the pre-release programs and. So, Chair, in this regard, the parole board has approved the parole on what was available. And then after that decision was taken, and such decisions are always taken on the pretense that the good behavior will continue. But in this regard, the good behavior did not continue, and there was information submitted and in the public that they transgressed the rules of the institution. Therefore, they had to be brought back so that they can account. And based on the preliminary findings, there was already the decision of the disciplinary committee, and further information as they are gathering it will be placed before the CSPB. And Chair, I don't want to preempt the decision. Hopefully that based on the information, decisions will be taken that we can account for at the department, account for at the parole board. And Chair Ullman, let me also say, you know, it's one of those issues where the department is offering rehabilitation programs. And in this case, let me use all four of them. Maybe the committee members also seen yesterday that two who is not involved in this case, they attended issued yesterday a statement where they thank the department for the programs rendered to them. They distanced themselves from what happened with the other two. And, you know, they specially thank the head of the center of Sonavata and other people. Now, Chair, it makes it very difficult. You have programs where you find that two people who committed the same crime are responding on a certain way, and we want to encourage them to continue with the behavior and show that they have been rehabilitated, while two others are doing the opposite. Now, I think we need not to kill the rehabilitation program, but realize that some are working, and in this case, based on the information available, it's clear that there are question marks on the level of rehabilitation of this other two. Because if we are accepting that what we have seen is correct and true, we need to reject that with contempt, because that is not what we expected. Because you expect a person who is 5 years and 6 months and a couple of days behind bars to react like, let me use the other two, walk out, look down, go home, and start with your life, not to do what the other two did. So, Chair, I think the structures are dealing with that, and I can, as the department, commit ourselves as the program is unfolding, that we are very serious about this matter, and we will ensure, Chair, that justice prevails, and if there are any correctional officials who involve and play a part in this, obviously, Chair, not to say what will be the sanction, but they will join those that are on the receiving side, as the advice also from you, Chair, and the Honourable Minister. Chair, I think I will pause there and not go into more detail if that is for the best to you, Chair. Thank you.
No, that's good for us members. I want to make a proposal. It's really one of the President's thoughts at you. Next week, we were supposed to be doing this type of thing around the fight paper, whether it is still relevant. Now, I've been informed that that discussion is not going to be a long discussion for. I want to make a proposal because we want to really deal with the inmate privileges and rights. You remember we were strong on self-sufficiency and that type of thing. That has not been discussed today. And of course, the progress around Mangaung has not been discussed today.
Right, I'm just saying that. Then there is this 7-day establishment that Mangwenya continues, and maybe we should look at it, maybe differently about Mangwenya. The nutrition, the parole orders, and the guarantee. What I was suggesting to members, can we put those on hold until next week to finish this?
Yeah.
Together, because the white paper, Grant, I don't know where you are, but Grant has advised us that it's not going to be a long presentation, or somebody advised us. We've got another whole day, so if we did the white paper in an hour, and at least another hour on this one, I think that that's the proposal I'm making, of looking at members, if that's right with you.
Agreed.
All right. What Smallberger is then saying is that you quickly want to deal with the Magaung, very briefly, and all the rest we'll put for next week. So it means that those people that would need to respond on the outstanding ones, because I don't think the entire group is going to come next week, but certainly somebody to talk on inmate privileges stroke rights. I know those would be the luckiest of the small of us. What we're basically talking about, are you guys making sure that these guys are paying back to society? Via Fana now. Is there still a problem if we say put CCTV cameras in terms of his privacy and so on? Those type of things. So somebody must be able to answer that question. The 7-day establishment, Mangwenya is saying that it's not working properly, she's not convinced. So maybe in your interaction with the MTC, Baba, you have to look at it and say that members are still thinking that you must do. We all agree that it's a 7-day, it can't go back to the old one. What we are saying is just tell us how you think any new one would make it work. I think that's what we're saying. We're not saying go back to 5 days and people work overtime on Saturdays and Sundays. We just say that, look, experience is saying that good is not working very well. Is there a plan B? Okay. So I would imagine that you would have to come back if you had to put that in, if you want to give us that one. The one that was raised by Baba Dobu, if you've got a contract now because of the Department of Public Works not doing their work properly in terms of the boilers and so on, what happens when whoever we've given the contract to today, if it expires in March or even 2020, are we going to come back then and say, okay, the boilers are still not working? In other words, what is our solution to that? I think the real question that you must answer, gentlemen and ladies, the real question that you must answer, is nutrition core business of DCS or is it not? I think that's the real question that we must answer, because this thing of did we give it or did we not give it will continue to haunt us until we answer the question, is it your core business or not? If it's not your core business, these questions don't arise. If it is your core business, then members ask, but if it's your core business, why are you giving it to somebody else? So I really think that's the real question that will resolve this problem. And then do we have enough people inside our system that is able to pick up that so-and-so is behind with his parole? So-and-so should in fact get medical parole, but because he doesn't have the know-how, he's inside. I think there was somebody in Zonar Vatar Mangwai, if you were that. He could hardly walk, but because he never knew. In fact, everyone was prepared to die. He was saying, it's better if I die now. So do you guys have a system of proactively saying these people should be considered for medical parole, or these should be on parole and are not on parole? And let me add something else, because we get it every day. Come and talk to us about your license. Recall, the minister was reviewing all the licenses.
Yeah.
How many of those have been processed? How many of those have been told come back for a review? Just give us an update on the license and the process with the minister. And then this thing called guarantor that Abraham is talking about, please explain that a bit further to us. Exactly what does it mean? So those people who can answer this question, please join us next week. Together, whoever's going to talk to us on the white paper and so on. For the rest of you, thank you very much. I'm also sure all of you will be here to give support to your minister on the fourth. I would imagine so. So if there's still things that we think of between now and the fourth, we will raise them with the minister, and you'll have a second bite to respond to them. But next week, if you could just deal with those things. Is that acceptable to members?
Yes.
Is that acceptable to DCS? If that is the case, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. We all meet next week, Wednesday.
Stop.
I had a problem. I